If you would take your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to be talking to you about rest, but a little different than maybe you have heard before. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, or it had no value to them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Again he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, it has been said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." And you may look at this and you may say, what in the world is he talking about? God desires that you enter a divine rest. I know when you talk about this passage, people are thinking, oh, you got to keep the Sabbath. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about keeping one day and setting aside just to lay around and watch television. He's talking about the fact that God wants to give you his divine rest every day. He wants you to live in absence of stress. He wants you to live in absence of worry. He wants you to live in absence of fear. He wants you to live in absence of doubt. He wants you to come to a place where you live in the same mindset as he does. A lot of us have learned to make our problems worse. We've been well taught. A lot of us, and my mom used to say, oh, you want to make a mountain out of a molehill. And so we come to a place where we think it's just okay to be stressed out. It's just okay to be full of fear. It's just okay to be full of worry. And we live that way. We walk that way. We do those things. And God is saying to us, wait a minute, time out. I want you to live in peace. I want you to live in joy. I want you not to be, the old word, fretting about everything, worried about everything, full of anxiety. The word rest is very interesting. Now, as I say what it means in the Greek, just think about yourself for a moment. The word rest means to let up. It means to relax. It means to stop being stressed. It means to find relief. It means to cease from the labors that you are doing to try to find your peace. It means to come to a place of absolutely living in God's divine rest. How many ever realize with almost 7 billion people on this earth, God doesn't have ulcers? How many realize with everything going on and
seemingly everything going falling apart, and this new illness and that new illness, and this is coming and that is coming. God is resting. He's restful. He's not in a panic. He doesn't take one day to rest. He rests all the time. You say, well, you mean he doesn't? Of course he does stuff. But he does it in his peace and his joy and his love and his compassion. He's not uptight. If you do something that's wrong, he doesn't lose his temper. And so God is looking at us and saying, come. I want you to find rest. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look at what he has to say. He says this, come unto me, or come to me. Now that should be an indication right away that God's inviting us to come to him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You should know that. Matthew chapter 11. I know he did it for you folks. That's what he'll tell me tomorrow. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor. How many have a job? How many work hard at not having a job? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will keep your life in turmoil. Not saying that, does he? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, he's not talking about laying on your couch sleeping all afternoon. He's talking about the fact when you're doing your daily things, when you're doing your daily chores, when you're at your job, you can be in absolute rest, calm, tranquility, peace. Goes for you, John. But you know something? We have to come to him. Even when people around you are in turmoil, you can have rest. You don't have to worry about hypertension. You don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going around. Because people are trying to get 40 hours of stuff done in 24 hours and they're driving themselves mad. They're going crazy. They're doing it themselves, and Christians are in that bunch. And God is saying, time out. How many of you had anything busy going on this week? How often did you stop and just sit down and thank God? How often did you say, well, it's like Martin Luther said, I got hundreds of things to get done today. I'm going to start my day with 3 hours of prayer or 6 hours of prayer. God is not desiring that we live in a panic. You have a schedule. You have things to get done. Do them in the peace of God. Do them in the rest of God. Walk it out in an attitude that I'm not going to get disturbed today. I'm not going to look at things and panic. I'm not going to look at things and fall apart. I'm going to do what I have to do, but I'm not going to do them because I know what I'm doing and how to do it. I'm going to do them through God. I was with somebody this week, and it's been a very interesting week. If I was a person in a panic, I'd be in a panic. And we were just getting out of the car, phone rang. A lady called and said, everything's going bad for my son. He's going to court in a week or so and is falling apart. And they looked at me and said, do you ever get stressed? Not on purpose. Not on purpose. So what about your life? God is looking at this body today with all the things happening and all the things going on in your life and asking, do you believe me? Do you believe the very first part that there is a rest that remains for the people of God? Can you look at that and say, hey, that's for me today? Do you realize for the believer, our lives don't fall apart when they're founded in Christ? Do you realize that no matter if somebody pulls a rug out from underneath you, so to speak, there's still a foundation? Do we realize as we walk this life that God absolutely 100% is involved in our life and we can rejoice in Him and we can live in His peace and we don't have to fret disease, we don't have to fret sickness, we don't have to fret finances, we don't have to get all upset about things falling apart because nothing in God falls apart. You missed a good place to say amen. Because He's in control. And you may look and say, well, Pastor, you're just in a dream world. No. He sang that. In fact, is how many's ever hooked up a team of horses? How many ever hooked up a team of horses? How many knows that all about? How many have ever hooked up a team of oxen? Buffalo. How many have ever hooked up anything? What that verses I just read to you in Matthew is saying, hook yourself to Jesus and He'll help you pull. Don't do it by yourself. Don't walk this life out by yourself. Hook your life up in the same harness with Jesus and He'll pull the wagon with you. And you know something? How many of you got up every morning and Jesus was having coffee at your table, would you be worried and fearful and fretting? Hello? He wants you in peace. He doesn't want your life in turmoil. He wants you walking this life out in Him. He wants you living in Him. He wants you looking at things through His eyes. Quit talking yourself into depression and fear. Give it to the Lord. Jesus said, and He is leaving, I'm not going to leave you orphans. What He's saying, I'm not going to leave you out there all by yourself. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit within you and alongside of you to help you through whatever you're facing. How many realize that? How many realize that when you're just frustrated, when you're just stressed, when things are just falling apart, and you take a look and say, time out, self. I need a praise break. I need time with God. I need to take time to be with God and take His energy and take His source and to take His joy. You know, some of us miss a great opportunity on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights to come in here and just praise God. Turn with me to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. When you start feeling things getting heavy, take time and read this psalm, at least the first part of it. This is where we got that verse from, so I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest. But look at the first part. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us sing joyfully to him in psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. How many, when that stress level starts going up, just stop and say, God doesn't want me in stress. How many of things start to rise during the day and you want to scream, stop and say, God just doesn't want this for me. But you know what happens? We don't do that too much, do we? But you have an invitation from God to take his divine rest, his stability, his lack of stress, and walk out this life. God has given you authority. Say authority with me.
Authority.
God has given you authority to rebuke anything that comes against you. Now, you may not want to go into somebody's face and say, I rebuke you for being stupid. That might not be too good. But God has given you authority to walk this out and look at situations and tear them out. I listened to a DVD or watched a DVD over at Jerry's on Friday night. All about God's authority. Tearing out the roots. How often do we do that? How often do we let just things build and build and build and build, and then when we come to a place that is just too much, we're blaming God for not taking us out yet. The rapture hasn't happened. It's God's fault. God's not ready for us yet in heaven. You say, what do you mean? He still has a plan and a purpose here. We will be there. And part of that word rest absolutely ties in with the rapture when we're going to be resting in heaven. But the interesting part of that is we can have the same rest here. As we stand against everything and tear down the strongholds that Satan wants to put in your mind, and don't live by them, and don't feed them, and don't think the thoughts that are we're going through that, man, my life is a mess, and things are falling apart, and there's no hope, and I'm going to run out of this, and I'm going to run out of that. Pretty soon we're going to have to take care of Martha. Oh, I'm sorry, Martha. But we live that way, and we walk that way, that everything that happens in this world becomes a crisis, and God don't have any, and we shouldn't have crises either. Missed another place to say amen. How many of you enjoy crises? How many of you, your day is messed up if you don't have one? I told the people Wednesday night, when you start feeling anger coming, just stop and start praising God. He'll break it. Just stop and praise God. He'll break it. Rest in him. You're not going to say amen for anything today, are you? Praise God. As I was praying yesterday morning, I come to a place of saying, God, I want that. I'm going to enter that rest. I'm going to enter that rest. That invitation is here. So how do I get there? How do we get there? We get there through believing God. We get there through faith. Look at the next verse. 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now, I'm going to show you who them are in just a moment. Hebrews, back to Hebrews. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, was of no value to them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. The word of God was no value to them, not being combined or mixed with faith to those who heard it. What's he saying? I want to take you on a little spiritual trip. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. How many of you have ever heard God speak to you personally? How many believe he still does that? What's your response when he tells you something? You got to be kidding me. Who, me? Well, God spoke to Moses and to the children of Israel, and chapter 4 is based on the book of Numbers. Them were the children of Israel that he talked about in verse 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 1 of chapter 13, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Now, what were the words? Send out men from every tribe into the land that I am what?
Giving.
What?
Giving.
Come on, everybody. What?
Giving.
I'm giving. How many ever had to work for something that was given to you? Hello, come on. If I took a $100 bill out of my billfold, if I had one, and gave it to you today, and said, this is yours, have it. How many say, well, what can I do? How do I earn it? No, I'm giving it to you. God told the children of Israel, I'm giving you the land. I'm going into this to show you how not to respond. And then we're going to talk about very positive faith in just a moment. Go with me to number 27. The spies come back, okay? They sent 12 out. The spies come back, verse 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. So they were carrying grapes and whatever else was in there on poles. Nevertheless, stop there. When God tells you he's giving something, doing something, wants you to go somewhere, wants you to do something, don't you think he's got it all figured out? He wasn't dependent on the people to do anything except bring back a good report. He said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of the giants or Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites. I wonder if there are termites too. And the mountains and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb calmed the people, and Moses said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And the men who had gone in came back and said, we're not strong enough to do it. So they stopped right there. They stopped. How many times have we stopped because we just didn't quite believe? We didn't quite step into that place of faith where God wants us to. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it's impossible, say impossible, to believe God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's a word in there that we need to look at. For he that cometh to God must believe. Everyone over 20, except Caleb and Joshua, died because they didn't go in. Lack of faith in the words that God tells us will kill us. Life comes from believing what God says. And you may not want to hear this, because maybe you are solidified in what you're doing and how you're doing it and all the things around you, but there comes a time when we have to realize that when we're not walking in that faith and things are falling apart, we have to look at something different. So my question this morning is, where's your faith level? We're hearing what God has to say about rest. We're hearing what the word rest means and the stress and the diseases and stuff it can bring to us. But are we at a place now where we're going to say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you? Not when things are good only. I'm going to trust you with my relationships. I'm going to trust you with my job or as I look for a job. I'm going to trust you with the finances you've blessed me with. I'm going to walk this life out not in fear and stress and panic and all the other things going on. I am just going to trust you. Now, I know you've heard that before. But you're older now. It should take grips in our heart. God is more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. We forget about that verse. We need to apply the word of God to us. We need to come to God and say, God, you've said it. I'm going to be obedient and do what you told me to do. I'm just going to do it. Let's check your faith level. Spiritual check. No condemnation, not separating people, not putting some people on a higher level than others. The Bible says every one of you have faith. How many realize that? How many of you still walking around town looking for faith? You got faith within you. You got power within you. You got authority within you. Greater is he that's in me than what? In the world. So let's just start very simply. How many of you have faith that Jesus Christ can take away your sins and save your life? Raise your hand. Really? How many have that faith? Okay, say this. I have faith, Jesus, that you can save me, that you can take away my sin, that you can break the bondage of Satan. And you can set me free. Now here's an issue. Tell the devil that all week. That's where your faith level is. One part of your faith level. You're believing that, then we're going to walk it together. All week when something happens, I believe, Jesus, that you have power to break the bondage of Satan. You have the power to set me free. You have the power to lead me down that path. I am not subject to sin anymore. I am free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You believe that? Give the Lord a hand if you believe it. Okay. Let's take another look. Are we okay there with your faith level?
Yep.
Anybody not there? If you are, if you're not there yet, come on up. We just want to pray with you. Come on. Not going to do that, huh, honey? How many have faith to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? How many have faith? Raise your hand. Wave it at me. You have faith. You have faith. Do you realize what that means? If you believe right now, and you have faith to believe that Jesus was raised by the dead, from the dead by the Holy Spirit, you have faith to believe that no work of Satan will ever going to prosper in your life. Do you realize that? Okay, raise your hand with me. Say, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And no power of Satan, because Jesus rose from the dead, has any authority in my life. How many believe that? Shout it out, I believe. Shout it out, I believe. One more time, I believe. Now, if you don't, you're lying. But I believe. I believe everybody here believes that. Okay. How many people believe Mark 11? Speak to the mountain, it's going to move. How many people believe that? Wave your hand if you believe that. Come on. If you don't believe it, don't do it. But if you believe you got mountain moving faith within you, wave your hand at me. Wave your hand. Say it out loud. I have mountain moving faith. And nothing is going to hinder what Jesus is going to do in my life. Therefore, right now, every mountain that's trying to destroy me must be moved. Get out of my way. Look out, devil, I'm coming. I'm walking in victory right now in Jesus' name. Okay, what does that mean?
I am a child of God. I've got authority.
It simply means that you are not allowing anything to get in your way and hinder your walk with God. You're not looking at circumstances, because when you believe you have mountain-moving faith, the circumstances have to get out of the way. How many understand that? They got to get out of the way. You are no longer under the circumstances. The circumstances are under your feet. Thanks, Dave. The rest of this crew missed that one, too. Couple more. How many have faith right now for signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverances? From all diseases, from all sicknesses, from all bondages. And you're gonna confess it. If you have that, raise your hand. I got faith. Right now, I don't care how many times I've been prayed for. I don't care how many times it hasn't worked. I don't care whatever it is. I got faith right now for signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverances in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that. Say it. I have faith. And I believe God for signs, for wonders, for miracles, for healings, for deliverances. I believe God that my family's going to be saved. Every single one of them. I'm not in doubt. I'm not in fear. I'm living for Jesus. What does that mean? It means when you get a bad report, if you get one, you don't panic. It means if you get a phone call that one of your friends is sick, one of your family members are sick, it's just an opportunity to see Jesus move. Because you're resting in Christ. You're divinely resting in Christ, and I want you to know when you're divinely resting in Him, nothing brings you to panic. You begin to understand. You begin to look at things different. You begin to view things as God does. You know, Jesus didn't see the leper coming and try to duck out of the way. Jesus didn't see the person with the withered hand or the blind eyes and try to escape so he wouldn't have to ask the Father for something he didn't know if he'd do or not. He didn't do that. He looked for every issue that Satan tried to bring in his path and he walked through it. Do you realize in Luke when it says that he knew that the time that he was going to be lifted up or that he was going to be crucified came, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He walked it out. We're going to teach on power on Wednesday nights. Scotty can't be here. He's coaching football team down in Aberdeen, all-star game. We're teaching on power and bringing us to a place that we realize that the power and the authority of Christ is within us. And as we're walking with him and this word is living within us, as we respond and are obedient to the word of God, we see the amazing things happen that God is doing. We had a man come in on Friday morning, came in about 7 o'clock, and he was looking for prayer. He's from Phoenix, Arizona, and he's got skin cancer. He was dripping and came in, just said, "Do you do prayer?" And I said, "Yeah, but on Fridays we do breakfast too." And so a group of us prayed for him. And then he had breakfast, came back Friday night. And he said, "You know, I've been prayed for. I'm just going to accept my healing. I'm just accepting." The power of Jesus Christ, when you take hold of that, like you did this morning with your words, and now with your minds and with your hearts, and we begin to walk this out, we find opportunity, not impossibilities. We find amazing things that God is doing. And the more he does, the more excited we get. The more we see, the more we're ready for whatever else comes. It's not taking a step backwards. It's stepping into where God is leading us and to where God is bringing us. And we're not afraid of whatever the devil's doing. We can get right in the middle of it. I don't even know if I dare to use this illustration, but it came to me yesterday morning as I was praying. And don't blame God for this, but blame me. You ever take a dog for a walk? How many of you ever had a puppy, had a doggie? How many of you ever gone with them somewhere? What are they doing all the way? They're marking their spots. You know, I take Fluffy out yesterday. We did our mile and a half or whatever it was. And everything he sees, he marks. He sees another puppy, he marks where the puppy was. You know, why? And I'm not going to tell you what marking means. Look it up. You don't have to mark it. And so I'm kneeling here yesterday morning reading my Bible, and that's what I do when I come in the mornings, and I'm thinking, Christians need to mark their territory. I'm not saying not that way. We mark our territory. We mark our territory with the presence of God. We mark it with prayer. We mark it with worship and praise. As we walk around, we claim it for Jesus. And that's what the puppy's doing. He's claiming that territory. We're claiming territory. And we're not afraid of the results because we know God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And God is going to work it out. So what do I do? Whatever the situation is, you're taking authority over it through Christ. You don't have to say, "Well, Pastor, come and take authority over this for me." No, you do it. You walk it out. You speak to that situation. You walk in that power. You walk in that anointing. You know why churches are weak? Because there's 3 or 4 people that are doing it and the rest of people are watching them. And so it's like the football game. It's 40,000 or 60,000 people who desperately need exercise watching 22 men who desperately need rest. And so we are a body. This will accomplish what the body accomplishes. Revival is not going to come because of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people. Revival is going to come when we all pick up the Spirit and we're doing what God told us to do. We're walking it out. We're living it. And that's when God's going to say, hey, those people need a new building. They need a new building. Because you're taking authority, you're casting out devils, you're healing the sick, yeah, you're raising the dead, you're doing all kinds of things that God has led you into, not out of panic or not out because I have to. Remember, it's restful. You're doing it because the opportunity is there and you walk it out. We okay? Stand with me, will you?